Today, as part there's the recording. So we thank everyone who is in attendance today as well from the public in being aware of the requirements for licensure in the state of Arizona, helping to disseminate information in our state and potentially other states about how we protect the public here in Arizona for then receiving quality behavior analytics services. So, we also have just another general reminder here. We do have open meeting laws, and that means that the agendas that we post for these meetings can't be altered. So here today, we are making a slight adjustment to the agenda. As Ms. Malice noted, Dr. Davey is not present today, so he has some of his applications that have been reassigned. Specifically here, applicant number 5, Amira Howard. I hope I pronounced your name correctly. I see your face here, so oh great. This application has been reassigned to Dr. Byra. Paola Psyche, also I hope I've pronounced that name correctly, has been reassigned to Dr. Rates. Chantel Berwick has been reassigned to me. And then the application for this is agenda item number 6, which is license reinstatement and reactivation request submitted by Maisha Argules. Dr. Stenhoff has been reassigned this agenda item. So as we move through the next item here, which is just general remarks, is that the Board of Psychologist Examiners is a BACB approved ACE continuing education provider. Attending a meeting of the board's committee on behavior analyst is eligible for continuing education credit for maintenance of BACB certification, as well as for Arizona licensure renewal. To claim this credit, attendees today will need to make note of the code words that will be provided hourly throughout the meeting to report code words to board staff for purposes of earning continuing education credit. Look for the link on the board's meeting page for this particular meeting. I will also note that in order for this to count as continuing education, this meeting does need to last for at least 50 minutes. So in the event that we do not exceed 50 minutes today, then continuing education may not be available for this particular meeting. Okay, I don't think I have any other general remarks or announcements, so we will move on to agenda item number 4, which is the approval of minutes. The approval of minutes are for March 28th, 2020, or March 29th, sorry, 2024, regular session minutes and executive session minutes. Would anyone like to offer a motion for the March 29th draft?
Make a
Madam
motion.
Chair, I'd like to. Oh, I'll second.
Okay, the motion has been made by Dr. Rates to approve the regular and executive session minutes from March 29th. It has been seconded by Dr. Stenhoff. Is there any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed, nay. The motion carries. Moving right along here to agenda item number 5. Agenda item number 5 is the discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding recommendation to the board pertaining to the approval of behavior analyst applicants. As we move through here, we will have assignments. For each of the applicants, a different committee member will be reviewing those and going through and determining what to do with the application for each one. So we will start off with applicant number 1, Shan Lee Rasmussen. Dr. Stenhoff, you're the lead.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Rasmussen's file I reviewed, including the education, experience, examination, performance, and declarations. I found it to be both administratively and substantively complete and recommended move forward to the board for approval.
Okay, perfect. Application number 2 is Olivia Copti. I am the lead on this application. Through my review of the file, including the applicant's education, supervised experience, examination performance, and declaration, I find it to be both administratively and substantively complete and would recommend that it moves forward to the board for full approval. Application number three is Shannon Majerin. Dr. Rates, you're the lead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I did review the file, including the applicant's education, supervised experience, examination performance, and declarations. I find it to be administratively complete. The only issue that I noted that we may just want to ask for additional information is that the applicant indicated that they have been in Arizona in a position they identified as a clinical director. Overseeing behavior analytic treatment. That's potentially some practice prior to licensure. And so we may want to have some additional information about supervision that's occurred in the state between October and now. Other than that, the application was complete.
Okay. So, Dr. Wicks, is that a issue? Is the applicant present today? Okay, I didn't see that, but we did have, you know, a phone number on here, so I just wanted to ensure that that wasn't the applicant. So are you recommending potentially a fair to this individual, Dr. Rates?
Yeah.
Okay.
Madam Chair, committee members, I do see a Sarah Myrtle on the, she is on the call on the in the meeting, so you may wish to.
I think this is Shannon Mazurik.
Oh, my apologies.
No worries. No worries. So the fair, just for clarity of board staff, would include a request for supervision that's been occurring during the period of time that she's been practicing in Arizona, providing presumably direct patient care to individuals receiving behavior analytic services. Is that accurate, Dr. Rates?
That is correct, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Board staff, do you need any additional details? Ms. Malice specifically? Or Ms. Folks, either one.
I understand, Madam Chair.
Excellent. 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 Okay. We will move on to applicant number four, which is Knight Sarah Myrtle. Dr. Byra, you're the lead on this application.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So in my review of the file, including the applicant's education, supervised experience, examination performance, and declaration, I found it to be both administrative and substantively complete. However, she did self-disclose that she did have a DUI back in 2011, no instances since then. She did make a statement, but I know just precedent from other applications, we have given the applicant an opportunity just to discuss that. So since I do see her on the call, I will let, if that's okay with you, Madam Chair, sorry,
absolutely,
invite her to just comment on that experience. And I know we've asked in the past kind of what you've learned since then, and I'll turn it over to you.
Absolutely. So the applicant, if you would like, Ms. Myrtle, Dr. Myrtle, you can unmute yourself and make a statement.
Sure. Yeah, it was a terrible mistake, and I learned a great deal about myself and about my other people. It was the most humbling thing I have ever experienced. And I would say I'm a totally different person because of it. And as I wrote in my statement, I've totally changed so many things, got really into certain things. That's actually where I came to like ACT and different forms of, I got really heavy into meditation, and just it really forced me to look at myself because I thought that was something that other people did, mistakes other people made. And this helped me to realize that we are all one really, really bad mistake from a totally different life. And so I live my life by make better decisions, obviously, but I also like the environmental modifications. I don't put myself in those situations, right? And then I also, just have done like the compassion and understanding and judgment is a thing that I really try not to do anymore, because once something like that happens and you spend some time in jail, you you realize that we are all the same, right? So is there anything else I can clarify?
And thank you for that spontaneous but well articulated response. You know, we always want to ensure that, you know, as we look at things that have happened in people's pasts, you know, we all have a past, that it's not something that's going to impact service delivery in our state and the recipients of behavior analytics services. And so, you know, that's kind of the reason why we come forth and we want people to have the opportunity to articulate, you know, how things have changed, you know, whenever we're going through and reviewing these things. So thank you so much, Dr. Myrtle. We appreciate that. Dr. Byra, do you have any other aspects that you'd like to discuss for this application?
No, I think given the review of her application and her statement in her application here today, I don't have any reservations, but recommending that she move forward to the board for approval.
Thank you. I'm going to come back to you again, Dr. Byra, for applicant number 5, Amira Howard.
Sorry, let me unmute myself. All right. Okay, so this one I did have some questions about. So Ms. Howard, thank you so much for coming to the meeting today. So going through your application for committee members, on page 19, there is a grid there that kind of lists all your different supervisors on that list. The total hours is 1,760, which surpasses the 1,500. But there are two different lines where you have supervision by a Miss Tricia. Oh, I'm going to really do a bad job in her last name. Ballinger. And it does say that she was not licensed at that time in the state of Ohio, but she was being supervised by another licensed behavior analyst. So committee members, I am going to ask for some help here. I've not seen the situation. I know that BACB, if you're a brand new BACB or BCBA, you can get supervision from a behavior analyst, right? But in terms of the licensure piece, I'm not familiar with the rules in Ohio. I know previously we've followed suit with, if it's a licensure state, those hours need to be licensed. If we remove those 225 hours, we're still over the 1500. But unfortunately, there's another issue with the supervision from Stephen Flora. There's no notification on that he's passed the 8 hours of supervision coursework to provide supervision. And it also is listed that his certification was revoked, but it was not clear in the application when it was revoked, and that was for a total of 73.5 hours. So if I take all of those hours away, then we are just under the 1400 mark. So that's where I am with the review. I don't know if we need to get advice from Ms. Galvin, looking to support, for support from my committee members being the newest member here.
May I or say something?
Yes, go ahead.
When Tricia Ballinger supervised me, she did not start supervising until she got her BCBA credential and started with her 8-hour supervision. So she did meet all of those requirements. It's just on that form in Ohio, you have to do one per agency that you work with. And I grouped all of those together. So she does fall into the requirements where she meets them, but I just did not start supervision with her until she was passed.
So
and I do have a supervision
contract. Sorry.
I do have a signed supervision contract with her, and it is dated after she does have that credential.
So in the state of Arizona, we've got a little bit of a different piece here. So there is certification, right? Which I think is what you're speaking of, right? She was a BCBA. She has this credential. She has met the requirements of becoming a BCBA. In Arizona, we also have licensure. And licensure is a statutory requirement, as it is in every state that has licensure. And with this, we oversee public protection. And the certification is not synonymous in the state of Arizona with licensure. And so in Arizona, we do require that for someone, for their supervised experience to qualify or meet the statutory requirements in Arizona, that supervised experience, if it occurs in a state where licensure is required, you have to be supervised by not just a certified behavior analyst, but a licensed behavior analyst. So Dr. Byra, I believe this is what you're referring to, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, like it was just missed Valinger's, then we'd still be over the 1500. But now the issue with Mr. Flora, I'm a little confused of his dates of supervision, whether or not he was actually in position to do supervision if he didn't do the 8 hours of supervision coursework. And as I said, his certification was revoked, and it's unclear from the application when his certification was revoked. And so it's those additional 73 and a half hours. Like if we don't include Ms. Valinger's, we'd still be over the 1500, which meets our criterion, but that 73 and a half would put you under. So there's questions about Mr. Flora's ability. Was he really in a position to do supervision at that time? And like I said, it's unclear because he's currently has his certification revoked, and it's not clear when that was revoked. And even when he was actively supervising you, I don't have documentation that supports that he did the 8 hours of supervision coursework to meet that standard.
In my master's program, he was the clinical director overseeing the entire program. I do not have his contact information now. I have reached out to the board to get his information for the COBA, but I don't have that when he did complete his 8 hour supervision. But it was the summer of 2021 where his RBT or his BCBA was revoked.
Okay. So did you finish those 73 hours before his certification was revoked?
Yes.
Okay. But we don't have the confirmation that he did the supervision coursework, 8 hours.
No, I've not heard back yet.
Okay.
So Dr. Byra, I've got a couple of ideas here that I'll kind of toss your way and see how comfortable you are with it. I think one thing we could do, and also Ms. Galvin, you could kind of say this, you know, we could subpoena Mr. Flores. That is his name, correct? Did I get the right last name?
Flora.
Flora. Okay. And we could ask for that information, or it might be easier, Ms. Howard, if you have been supervised by someone else in the state of Arizona, for example, who is licensed over the last month or so, or you have the ability to be licensed or to be supervised by someone who is licensed for the next month and accrue those hours, then we could come back with that additional information, and then you would meet the 1500 hour requirement.
I mean, I think the second suggestion, Ms. Denton, would, I think, be most, I don't know, efficient probably. We could subpoena Mr. Flora, I think it's Flora. If I'm wrong, I'll go back in the document. But he may come back and then say, oh, oops, I didn't actually have that coursework done. And now we've wasted another month of Ms. Howard's time being able to accrue those. So if number two is an option, that would be my recommendation, Ms. Howard, just for efficiency to get those hours done. Because the delta is very little, right? It's not very many hours to get supervised.
So you're still in Ohio?
No, I live in Arizona now.
Okay.
For BCBAs that first year that they are practicing, they do have to get supervised if they're providing the supervision for others in their master's program. So right. I do have documentation of where the past year when I was working, I was getting supervised. Would that documentation suffice?
If you were supervised by a licensed behavior analyst in the state where you practiced, you bet.
I do have that documentation.
So I would recommend, again, Dr. Byra, this is your call, that we issue a FAIR requesting that additional information. It would mean that we request an experience verification form. And we've got like a board form, so it doesn't need to be one that is retroactively done for BACB documentation where we're outside of signing timelines. But there is an approved supervised experience form that could be detailed in that FAIR. So the FAIR is a letter that would be sent to you by board staff requesting that additional documentation. And then if the appropriate documentation is obtained, then we can bring that back here and then move forward in the appropriate direction. How do you feel about that, Dr. Byra?
I agree. That'd be great. Do we need to make a motion for a FAIR?
I think. Yes.
Okay.
Right now.
So I'd like to make a motion for a FAIR for Ms. Howard to get those additional supervision hours back to the board.
Second.
Thanks.
The motion has been made by Dr. Byra. It has been seconded by Dr. Stenhoff. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed, nay. Motion carries. Okay. We will move now. Ms. Howard, do you have any questions? You should be receiving documentation from board staff as far as a letter is concerned, detailing the information that is needed and the date whenever the information would need to be received by to be on the next committee meeting. Do you have any questions?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much for your attendance today. I think that made it quite a bit easier to determine the next step and to go through, and it has likely expedited the process in ensuring that we know the appropriate questions to ask. So thank you so much for being present today. It's very helpful.
Of course.
We will move on to application number 6, which is Lydia Kriveski. Dr. Stenhoff, you're the lead.
Yeah, my review of the file, including the applicant's education, supervisor experience, examination forms, and declarations, I find it to be both administratively and substantively complete and recommend it move forward to the court for approval.
Thank you, Dr. Stenhoff. And Lydia, I do hope I pronounced your name correctly. I'm sure you've gone through many situations where your name has been mispronounced. So I apologize if I was not in the right ballpark. Okay, we will move over here to applicant number 7, which is Madison Page. Dr. Rates, you're the lead.
Madam Chair. My review of the file, including the applicant's education, supervised experience, examination performance, and declarations, I find it to be complete apart from one note. So the individual sent us their supervision documents. We require that they be sent by the supervisor in an attempt to reach back out to get these sent to the board by the supervisor. The applicant has been unable to do so. So they have shared the supervision documents, and you can find them. Apologize, I don't know if I have the page number. You move to page.
Madam Chair, Dr. Rates, yes. I think page 20.
Thank you. Yes, the email with some explanation. Thank you, Dr. Stenhoff. And then if you scroll to 22, you'll see the forms and some exchanges that went back and forth. So in this situation, I think we can see the forms. Unfortunately, the supervisor is not responsive to returning these forms back directly to us. So I think as a committee, we just need to decide if this is enough for us to move forward, given applicant has reached out several times and made numerous attempts to get these sent directly and has shared with us the forms that are signed. We also do have our own board staff trying to reach out to get them directly sent as well. That is on page 37.
So let me ask this question, Dr. Raitt. We have a behavior analyst who is not responding to regulatory boards. Is that accurate?
Yes. We do. They were responsive initially to the applicant themselves, and now they have been unresponsive. They are not in the state. So this is a behavior analyst in California.
Ms. Galvin, is this potentially a point at which we could leverage a subpoena?
I don't know where this person is located. I apologize. You can issue a subpoena if they're out of state. It may be more difficult to get compliance. Mm-hmm. I recall in the past that individuals who have not responded to requests, we've evaluated what the applicant has submitted and just made a determination that despite everyone's best efforts, we're not going to get what we're asking for. So we look at what was submitted to ascertain whether it's sufficient given the circumstances. And in the past, the committee has made a recommendation to the board to report to the BACB this individual's failure to cooperate and respond with those supervision records.
That is where my thoughts were going when I asked if we have someone who is not responsive. What direction would you like to go in, Dr. Raitt?
I think that would be my recommendation, that given the applicants, what they have submitted to us and the efforts that they've made, we go ahead and move this forward to the board. But we could certainly, as a follow-up, send this to the certifying board as an instance of someone not responding to our requests.
Okay. Is there any discussion on that? I know it's not a motion, but anything else that needs to be addressed from fellow committee members? Okay. Well, then we will go ahead and move on to application number 8, which is Sydney Cardiff. Dr. Byra, you're the lead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Cardiff came to our last meeting, and there was some issues with a few of her supervisors not being licensed in the state they were doing supervision. So we did ask for her to see if she had some additional hours. So she did resubmit. And now with additional hours, she is over the 1500 hour mark. She is at, we have records for 1,585. So now that we have that in alignment, everything else in her application in terms of her education was already in order. So now that we have that, I find no reason not to push this forward to the board for approval.
Excellent. And Ms. Cardiff, thank you so much for your timely response to board staff and the FAIR that was issued and supplying the necessary documentation to the board. You have definitely led to the determination of the committee that we can move this forward today and get this done expeditiously. So, for those who are in attendance today, I am thanking you, because this is not always the case that people move things quickly through so they can become licensed and serve the population here in Arizona. So thank you, Ms. Cardiff. This is appreciation from me to you. Okay. We will move now to application number 9, which is David Kelton. I am the lead on this application. Is Mr. Kelton present today? I see an SVM iPhone. I see a phone number, so I just wanted to check and see. Okay. As I'll just kind of go through the review here. As I was reviewing Mr. Kelton's application, it does appear that his application, including his education, supervised experience, examination performance, are all what are needed. This is a situation where there was, let's see, item, I don't know which item it is on the application, I'm sorry, fellow committee members, but where we ask if there have been any criminal convictions. It was noted and documentation was provided of a criminal conviction. Police reports were provided and information was provided surrounding this particular instance. With this being said, board staff did reach out to Mr. Kelton to try to get a written statement surrounding this situation. We have not, correct me if I'm wrong here, Ms. Malice, have we received anything to date as far as a response about this situation?
No, we have not, Madam Chair. I've reached out two times and I have not gotten any response from him.
Okay. So with this information, it was about 5 years ago that this incident occurred. We don't have any information about potentially a change in behavior. You know, it has been 5 years and there was no other instances reported. There was some coursework that was completed by this individual that was court mandated as part of a plea agreement. As we look through this personally, I would like to issue a FAIR where we request that information formally. I would also like to invite him to attend our next meeting and tell him it would be very beneficial for him to be here to answer some questions surrounding that because he has received supervision for 1,608 hours. He's completed the necessary academic coursework. He had licensed supervisors who provided his supervision. It's really that one piece there of that criminal conviction.
Madam Chairman, this is Jean Galvin. Given the fact that he has not responded to attempts of communication by board staff, you may wish to send a subpoena instead of an invitation.
I am comfortable with a subpoena. Thank you for the suggestion, Ms. Galvin. Do any other committee members have questions or comments on this application? Okay. We need a motion for a FAIR at this point.
And I'm sorry, I'm just looking at this. Z, was this expunged?
I want to say that it was as a part of the plea agreement.
It looks like both charges were dismissed.
Can I make a motion to move into an executive session for the purpose of receiving legal advice?
Second.
I have made the motion. It has been seconded by Dr. Stenhoff. Is there any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed, nay. The motion carries. It looks like we are all back in open session. After receiving legal advice from the board's attorney, Ms. Galvin, I think I would like to rescind my motion to subpoena Mr. Kelton, specifically here, whenever we're looking at his response to the application question, if there was any charges or arrests made. You know, there is documentation that has been provided that shows that the charge was dismissed as part of an agreement with the court and completing necessary actions supplied by the court in those areas. With a dismissal of these charges, you know, I do think that the application is both administratively and substantively complete. I would recommend, however, that board staff reach out and strongly invite Mr. Kelton to the full board meeting where his application is to be reviewed. He has failed to respond to board staff's requests. And that doesn't particularly bode well for a professional who is becoming licensed in the state of Arizona. And we do want to ensure that regulatory boards are impactful on your practice. And I do believe the full board may have questions for Mr. Kelton. So I would recommend that board staff extend a very strong invitation, not a subpoena, but a very strong invitation to come to the full board meeting. As far as sending my motions, Galvin, like as far as procedurally goes, there's no voting that needs to happen or anything, right? I can just...
As part of this group of applicants, it'll be just a recommendation to the full board for approval. Okay. And you've already instructed staff to invite him to the meeting.
Okay.
Perfect. And I'm sending Z.
Okay. So I do recommend that this application moves forward to the full board for potential approval. Okay. We will move on to application number. Oh, Miss Malice. Oh, look, we hit an hour. Would you like to give us a code word?
Yes, Madam Chair. I would like to do the first code word. And the first code word is Derby. Derby. D-E-R-B-Y. Derby.
I am just not into sports enough to realize that perhaps it's around Kentucky Derby time. Like, is that the thing? Dr. Rates?
Yes, Madam Chair. I just wanted to note that for the next applicant, applicant number 10, I wanted to disclose that we are at the same agency, but I do not feel that there's any bias and I can move forward with the review.
Perfect. Thank you for that disclosure, Dr. Rates. We will move on to application number 10, which is Riley Rowland. Dr. Byron, you're the lead.
Yep. So for this one, my review of the file, including the applicant's education, supervised experience, examination performance, and decorations, I find it to be both administratively and substantively complete, and I'd like it to go forward to approval by the board.
Excellent. We will move on to application number 11, which is Paola Saiki. Dr. Rates, you're the lead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In my review of the file, including the applicant's education, supervised experience, examination performance, and declarations, I find it to be substantively complete from an administrative piece. I just, the individual indicated that their previous supervisor has left the field. However, they were able to give us over 60 pages of all of their individualized field work experience and submitted all of them. And all of them are signed and complete. So given that they are not able to get our form signed because that supervisor has left the field, I do believe that what they have sent in does meet our requirements and would recommend that we move it forward.
We will move on to application number 12. Application number 12 is Melissa Broderick. Ms. Broderick, I do see that you're on the line today, which is fantastic. This application is coming back before the committee after a fair, the first additional information request. As a reminder to the committee, Ms. Broderick completed her coursework at SIU Carbondale and did that intensive practicum options. And that means she had 750 hours. She had a little bit over 750. I want to say it was 755-ish hours of supervised experience, but we require 1500 hours of supervised experience in the state of Arizona. So with this, we had requested documentation of an additional number of hours in order to meet that 1500 hours statutory requirement here in Arizona. Ms. Broderick did supply additional documentation of supervision that occurred between February 1st of 2020 and August 30th of 2020. My question for fellow committee members here is, this is supervised experience. However, with the total number of hours that was provided, it would break down to about 149 hours per month of supervised experience rather than the 130 hours of supervised experience. Do we need additional time because the supervised experience did not conform to the expectations of the BACB in terms of limitations of hours? I just don't know how big of a stickler we need to be here. And Ms. Galvin, maybe this is a question that I invite you into answering as well. As far as that supervised experience that is occurring, presumably it needs to adhere to the standards of the BACB?
Yes, it needs to adhere to the board standards and assuming those align with the BACB. And you would not be viewed as sticklers, but you would be viewed as adhering to your statutes and rules.
Thank you. And as an adherer to statutes and rules. Dr. Rates?
I guess I have a question for my fellow committee members, but if the individual did do the 750 under the requirements of the BACB, is she not already meeting that? It's just that we require 1500.
Ooh.
So for me, I think she has met that because the BACB did allow for 750. We just require the 1500, but it did meet the requirements in terms of amount. So for me, I think this would meet the requirements.
I am in full support of that. Dr. Byra is clapping.
Thank you. I'd really appreciate that because I did go back and forth with the supervisor for a while trying to just clarify things since it was after everything. And I really do appreciate looking at it in that perspective because I also do agree that that kind of is the way that we were looking at it. So thank you.
Great. So with support of my fellow committee members, I would like to recommend that this moves forward to the board for potential approval as it is now both administratively and substantively complete. Thank you for your attendance, Ms. Broderick, and I hope that this is a thorn that has now been partially removed from your side. Obviously, it still needs to go forward to the full board for potential approval, but it is moving in that direction now. You've jumped that next hurdle.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Thank you all.
Absolutely. Okay. The next application is application number 13, which is Chantel Berwick. I am the lead on this application as well. When I am looking at this, there are a couple of things that I noted here. One, she marked that she had a spouse who is a military veteran, that is just for legal or statutory requirements here that we document those things, I think, but it doesn't have anything to do with whether we move forward or not. I just didn't know if it needed to be noted in open meeting. But the other piece here is on the multiple supervisors at one site form, the original date of licensure does not align with the verification forms. So if committee members look at the multiple supervisors from one site form for Ms. Berwick. I believe it is noted as let me look at what page it's on here. Multiple supervisors were listed as receiving their licensure on the exact same date in 2015, I want to say. And I'm not sure if that's just a typo. I don't know how I can make that type of judgment. Let's see here. My screen is so blurry. My screen is not unblurring right now, so I can't give you the exact date. But you will notice that on page, let's see here. What page is this on? Boy, howdy. Page 23, is that multiple supervisors at one site form? And I believe it's the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, last 7 supervisors at Scottsdale Pediatric were all licensed on the same day. So I am going to assume we need verification as far as which is accurate. We do have documentation as far as licensure verification forms from our board that shows dates of licensure. So is this something that we can just have corrected on the multiple supervisors at one site form and then move it forward? Because I do think it's just a typo. And I could even guess how it happened. Maybe we just pulled down a cell and spreadsheet. But I do want to ensure that the information that is contained in this application for licensure is accurate and consistent throughout.
Madam Chair, I think I agree with your assessment, and looking at the documents that we have, they are different dates than what the one date that's listed for those multiple individuals, and it does appear to be an administrative error. I would agree that if we can fix that, we would be able to move that forward.
Okay. So I am going to say that is my recommendation. So board staff, if we can just request, and I just don't feel like, if Ms. Berwick, you are here today, right? One of our concerns about not issuing a formal additional information request letter is that people don't respond quickly enough, and then we get stuck in this, I didn't issue you a formal letter, we just asked you to make a quick amendment and you didn't make it. If you are able to quickly make this adjustment to your application on the multiple supervisors at one site form and detail the actual dates of licensure of each of your supervisors, I would find your application to be both administratively and substantively complete. And I would recommend that it moves forward to the full board for approval. I just need it to be accurate.
Yeah, I believe that was just an admin error on my part. So I apologize for that.
Okay. So board staff, if you will just communicate with her to request that information, I don't think we need a fair. Ms. Berwick, if you want to send it in rapidly and you don't even wait for board staff, like, feel free to take that initiative to get it over there. The faster you get that information in, the more likely it can be reviewed by the full board at the next meeting.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And thank you for being present, because then I can express to you like the desire to have you do this quickly so your license doesn't get delayed. And I can't always express that when people aren't here, you know, to just articulate that. So, okay, we will move on to application number 14, which is Caitlin Merriman. Dr. Stenhoff, you're the lead.
All right, thank you. My review of the file, including the applicant's education, supervised experience, examination, forms, and declarations, I found to be both administratively and substantively complete, and recommend moving forward to the board.
Excellent. Dr. Rates, application number 15 is Lindsay Lee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think you'll see a common theme here for me. My review of the file, including the applicant's education, supervised experience, examination, performance, and declarations, I find it both to be substantively complete, and I would argue administratively complete. The individual did indicate that
She had supervision prior to receiving her board certification. That supervisor has been unable to be reached, and she showed that to us. She also already had provided documentation of 3,120 hours from an additional supervisor in California that meets our standards that occurred as well. So she's provided the backup supervision, but did indicate that her original supervision to get certification, that supervisor could not be reached. So I would say that this application is complete given the additional supervision that she did provide to us. And I would recommend it move forward.
Thank you very much.
Because we have so many people on the line, I would just highlight for everyone how important it is to respond to requests. If you have ever been a supervisor, you need to respond to these requests, and it's very impactful for the individual who is looking to become licensed when those requests are not responded to.
Wonderful public service announcement. Thank you, Dr. Rinks. You might as well unmute yourself because applicant number 16 is also yours, which is Brianna Reed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For this applicant, my review of the file, including the applicant's education, supervised experience, examination performance, and declarations, I found it to be both administratively and substantively complete, and I would recommend that it move forward to the full board.
Applicant number 17 is Jessie Rhodes. Dr. Byron.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So in my review of the file, including the applicant's education, supervised experience, examination performance, and declarations, I found it to be both administratively and substantively complete, and I'd like to have it go to the board for approval.
Excellent. Application number 18 is Brianna Jack. Dr. Stenholm.
Yeah, my review of the file, including the applicant's education, supervisor experience, examination performance, and declarations, I found to be both administratively and substantively complete, and recommend move forward to the board for approval.
All right. This concludes all of the applicants for behavior analyst licensure in the state of Arizona for this meeting. Ms. Malice, would you review the recommended actions for each of those so we can formulate a motion?
Yes, Madam Chair. So the applicants that have an issue is number 3, Shannon Majorek. It has to do with her supervision as a direct patient care that was on her application. The next applicant, Amira Howard, that is a fair dealing with her. If she's been supervised recently, we can have those hours added because the other supervisors, we cannot count those hours. The other person is a fair. I'm sorry, it's not a fair. Mr. Kelton, number 9, we're going to recommend that he move forward to the board, but strongly invite him to come to that meeting. The next individual is number 13, which is Chantel. That is a typo dealing with the supervised experience summary form, and everybody else can move forward to the full board. That's the recommendation. Does that sound accurate?
That sounds accurate to me.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, is there a motion?
So moved.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
The motion has been made by Dr. Rates. It has been seconded by Dr. Stenholm. Any discussion amongst committee members? Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed, nay. The motion carries. Before we move on to the next agenda item, I do see that there is a member of the public who would like to be acknowledged. I would call you by name, but right now you're SVM iPhone. I see you've unmuted. but I can't hear you. Still cannot hear you. If perhaps you have another way to join your audio, that would be advised. If you have something that would be beneficial to voice in this public forum. So I am going to go ahead and move on our agenda. We just as a note, agenda item number 5A is behavior analyst applications for licensure. And then 5B is licensure via universal recognition. We did not have anyone pursuing this pathway at this time. And 5C is requesting approval for telehealth registration. And we did not have any applicants via the telehealth registration pathway. So those we're going to just move straight through. Agenda item number 6 is discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding recommendation to the board pertaining to the license reinstatement and reactivation request submitted by Maisha Argules. Dr. Stenhoff, I believe you are the lead on this agenda item. Would you please provide a review at this time?
Yeah, thank you. The inactive license expired in February 29th of 2024. The license was in good standing at that time. The applicant completed the reinstatement and reactivation application online on April 9th of 2024 and while required to provide 30 hours of CEs, including 4 hours of ethics. In the last 2 years, she submitted 52 hours, including 4 hours of ethics. That's my review of the file. I found it to be administratively substantially complete and recommend it before the board for approval.
Okay. At this time, is that a motion?
That is my motion, Madam Chair. Yes.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. The motion has been made to move forward this license reinstatement and reactivation request to the full board for potential approval by Dr. Stenhoff. It has been seconded by Dr. Rates. Is there any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed, nay. The motion carries. We will move on to agenda item number 7, which is new agenda items for future meetings. Do any committee members have agenda items that they would like to see added to our future committee meetings? Okay. All right. Well, we will move on to agenda item number 8, which is adjournment. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
I will second.
Okay. The motion has been made by Dr. Stenhoff to adjourn. It has been seconded by Dr. Rates. Is there any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed, nay. Motion carries. Thank you to everyone who is in attendance today. I hope you all have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you.